You're listening to a sermon preached at Sojourn Church North. At the very beginning of the Bible, we see God's good vision for the world, creation in harmony with humanity, and humanity in harmony with God. Join us for our series, Sacred, Genesis 1 and 2.
It's good to be here together. Just want to give a shout out first with gratitude, then some announcements. And so I just want to thank those who helped lead our luncheon last Sunday. Thank you, Corinne and company, that helped you for all that barbecued. You are excellent. This will not be the last time that we will do that. So thank you all for Paul Butterworth, the setup, tear down, and those who cleaned up afterwards. So we were blessed, and I think it also is further installment in terms of connecting here at Sojourn North as we are praying for that. Couple of announcements. S2 will be canceled this evening, and also sign-up sheets are here up in the front. So a lot of our push and encouragement in this season is to organize ourselves, but also ask your help with various ministries from men, women, outreach, S2, Sojourn Kids, Missions Committee. And so if there are particular ministries that you have a heart for, after service, you can come down here, put your name and some info, and we want to connect with you as we lead forward the mission and vision here at Sojourn North. So we definitely need your help, and here are sign-up sheets afterwards. We also want to take time. I want to pray before I preach this morning. So the reason even S2 is canceled, which Pastor Chad has been leading, and if you all have known, I know this has been, it was sent an email. So Pastor Chad's father, Tom, passed away this past Wednesday. And so he is with his family as they step into the season of mourning and grief. So be praying for Pastor Chad. This coming Tuesday is the memorial service to celebrate Tom's life. And with all that's going on these days, it's heavy days. But we trust in the Lord that he is the God of all comfort and that he will comfort us through this time. And so be praying for Pastor Chad. And with that, I just want to pray because as we step into this subject, this theme of the image of God, I've found myself really encouraged in light of all the things that are happening that God's word would speak to us. And so before we do that, I want to pause and ask God's grace as we dig into his word this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Our God, just to be able to pause and call you by name, that you are the one true God, and we've come acknowledging that we have been called to worship, and as we've already been singing your story, Lord, we desire for your story to continue as we delve into Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, as we discuss this important, not just subject or theme just to talk about for the sake of talking about it, but this is our story. This is our life. And so, Lord, give us eyes to see that we may see and ears to hear that we may hear what you would have us hear this morning. And so, God, thank you that you have created us in your image. And so as we unpack this beautiful reality, God, would you help us receive? Would your Holy Spirit be our teacher? Lord, we pray for Pastor Chad and their family during this loss, this season of grief. Lord, would you comfort them in their mourning, comfort them in their pain? See them through this season and time, and grant them a peace that surpasses all understanding. And for those here, even in our midst, who have experienced loss or grief, Lord, comfort them also. And so we turn to your word because your word is life. Your word is a word of hope. And so grant us hope as we study from Genesis 1. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, before I begin, as it's a way of me marking, just to be able to take in your faces, friends. You know, it's easy again to get up here on this stage and just get into the content where there's so much that I want to share, and so I'm trusting in the Spirit that what He would have us receive, it will be given. But to be able just to look across here and to say that you at this moment, as I'm saying this, you exist in my mind, my heart, and I want to really, really love you well as I love God's word over you this morning. That's my heart. That's my desire. That's my prayer. But I also want you to turn, if you can. I know we've done this in the past and we'll feel a little bit awkward, but we're getting into the subject of God's image. And I want to believe even this morning that as we just scan the room and look at each other's faces for a moment, just to take in this truth and the reality, you are God's image. So take in the awkwardness for a moment. So let's just break it. And just allow your eyes to see and take in. Just look around. Look around for a moment. Just take that in. This is not virtual, those who are in Facebook Live, sorry. This is for real. And with that, I just want to read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Receive these, friends, from God's word. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird, the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is God's holy word. Amen. We're in the middle of a series called Sacred as we're unpacking the first few chapters of Genesis. And you may ask, why study, why take in the book of Genesis in this season of time? And the reason why this is so important in our present cultural moment is that our origin story is very, very important. When we read in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," that is a foundational statement when it comes to our story. It's important for us to take in this series because we have a lot of competing stories, and you probably hear from day to day, week to week, "I don't know what to believe anymore." Truth is hard to come by these days, and that's why we come every Sunday to find ourselves under God's word, to sing it, to pray it, to receive it through his preaching, because we're reminded once again this morning as followers of Jesus, we need God's story. We need the origin story that God has laid out, the singular God, Yahweh, the one true God that we worship and praise, the God that is so different than a lot of the gods that we even see today, and even back then, that the origin stories of even ancient times with neighboring countries like the Canaanites and the Ammonites, their origin story always was one of conflict. But when we read Genesis 1, it's a whole different story, isn't it? Because it begins, and we'll get into this more in by review, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This line is summarizing for us what's going to happen in the following narrative. And then we read in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, God's presence here, was hovering over the face of the waters. There's this picture of this unordered and uninhabited. There's nothingness. Darkness was on the face of the deep, covering, again, this idea of nothing has been formed, nothing has been ordered. And yet we see beautifully here in verse 2, the Spirit of God hovering, God's Spirit, God's invisible presence in the darkness, ready to bring order so that life can flourish. And in this ordering happens in a series of 6 days. Each day begins with the phrase, God said, and then ends with the phrase, there was evening and morning. Every day addresses those problems introduced in verse 2. Darkness. Disorder. And God speaks, and some Hebrew scholars say that when God spoke, it was like singing over creation and out came creation. I mean, just to be able to hear your voices even this morning and to just imagine for a moment how God's voice sounded like, and I don't have to guess because it's through you. That's how God's voice sounds like as a church raises their hearts in adoration to God. When God spoke, let there be, imagine the sound of music. Imagine the sound of joy. Imagine the sound of love and happiness. There is no order, no inhabitants. And so in days 1, 2, and 3, God begins his creative work by splitting apart or separating. That's what we see. So when we see what God does in days 1, 2, and 3, we see how he separates the realms, the spaces. And then in days 4, 5, and 6, we see God intentionally filling uninhabited wasteland with creatures. I actually have a slide. It's not as good as Pastor Chad because he had the galaxy last week, and I gave you a chart here. But I want you to see God's intentionality here with this chart. As I said, day 1, this first day, this space of order, he begins with light on day 1. Let there be light. This is God's own glorious light that fills and contains the darkness as he separates day from night, God establishing the order of time. And in day 2, we see this vault, the waters to separate water from water. Chaos waters in half above and below, this realm of sky and sea. And then on day 3, let the waters under sky be gathered into one place and let dry ground appear. That's what happened in day 2. And in day 3, the realm of the land, God establishing the realm of the land. So out emerges out the chaotic water. There's this bonus, actually creative act on day 3 where God brings, here in verses 11 through 13, plants, right? Fruit trees, seed to emerge out of the land. And so in days 1, 2, and 3, we see time established, sky and seas and land. And then purposefully, parallel to days 1, 2, and 3, we see days 4, 5, and 6, where God begins to fill these spaces. So in day 4, let there be lights in the vaults of the sky, sun, moon, and stars as signs and symbols that reflects God's own light. And in day 5, let the waters swarm with the living creatures and let birds above the land. These are the creatures that live in the waters below and those that fly near the waters above. And in the day 6, let the land produce living creatures emerging up out of the ground to live on the land. and then matching the bonus act in day three of vegetation, fruit trees, which we'll see the significance of that in Genesis 3, right? God makes his grand prize, pinnacle of all creation, human beings. Then after making humans, God says that it is very, very, very good. Their importance is explained in the first poem here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Humans coming out of the ground like the other land creatures, but there's also more. We see God's image bestowed upon human beings, men and women, to embody and represent the Creator within his creation, to live out. And so God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, ruling over the creatures." This is the purpose of God's design. God's image, to oversee creation as God's partners and to represent him into the world. And so Genesis 1, friends, is not just telling you just a fairy tale story. And I'll read this of just what I've gathered and studied. Genesis 1, friends, was written to show God's beautiful order and purpose to share creation with us who are made in his own image, so we can rest and rule with him forever. And that purpose is what we see unpacked in the biblical narrative from Genesis to Revelation. And he created it for us to enjoy, for us to participate in. And so when we read Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, it's a revolutionary thought and worldview during those ancient times, because as far as kingdoms in the land, kings and pharaohs who ruled were considered as the image of God. They claimed divinity. They exercised authority. They defined good and evil. They made laws and statutes after themselves. Monuments. The great wonders of the Lord, one of them is the Great Sphinx, right? The face of the Great Sphinx appears to represent a pharaoh, the head of a man and the body of a lion. This belonged to elite kings as far as ruling. But yet, here in Genesis, God says there is a different story about us, because when we think of God's image, it's not just on elite kings. It's you and I. God's image stamped upon us. And so, friends, when we look, and I ask you to do that awkward act, we see God's image in us, in you and I. All the dignity, value, worth, significance, right? It's in us. God says, it's very, very good. This is a revolutionary thought, is that God in his generosity has extended to human beings power to rule and reign with him. This is why we are the highest form of his creation, is we get to join him. That's why I love when summarizing what is the Christian faith, it is this with God life. We get to rule and reign with him. And as much many theologians have written and suggested, to be made in God's image is to reflect his intellect, God's intellect, his imagination, his will, all personality and memory. When God sees us, he sees himself like looking at a mirror. Actually, I love what Moore N.T. Wright says. The image is more of an angled mirror through which the worship of creation is reflected up to God, and the stewardship and love and purpose of God are reflected into the world. It's more of an angled mirror. As God is reflected upon us, we reflect his love, his power, his rule, his reign to the world. That's why it makes sense that when Jesus says, be the light of the world so that by your good works, creation, man, woman may worship God as a good God. Friends, this is a picture of abundance. This is a picture of generosity, not scarcity, not lack. It's a picture of beauty. And the question is, how are we to rule like God and with God? And the picture here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, is one of gardening. Now you're thinking like, well, James, I'm not a gardener. But the picture that he's inviting us is one of cultivation. It's garnering all its good potential. It's relationships that are formed, friendships that are made, marriages, families, neighborhoods, communities, cities, work, businesses. We are created to create with God and flourish towards this good, true, and beautiful vision. That's where we're headed, and that's what we get to create. So I was one of those guys on Friday who received the brand new iPhone 13. Sierra Blue, as a matter of fact. The most advanced dual camera system ever, dual 12 megapixel camera system, wide and ultra wide camera, cinematic mode features for video. Tried it out yesterday during my Abby's soccer game. It works really well. Durability that's front and center, water resistant. I didn't come up with this. I read this or got this from the Apple website. A lightning fast chip with an A15 Bionic chip, which I don't know what that means. New 6-core CPU, new 4-core GPU, new 16-core neural engine. I didn't know that's engines in these phones. Battery life that lasts forever. And it comes at the end of the screen that says, your new superpower. Right? All in Apple's website. They know how to do it well, right? I know I'm talking about Apple products here. And human beings can create beautiful things. But it doesn't have to be an iPhone for you. And maybe the question to ask even this morning is, what beautiful work have you created this past week? What have you exercised dominion over, subdued, cultivated? I know it still has garden effects or just imagery here, but it's more of talking about creation, because to be made in God's image, it's all about working with him, this vocation. As I'm getting to know you friends here at Sojourn North, I know some of you are great with numbers, you're accountants. Some are teachers, some are business owners, land surveyors, event planners, gardeners, extraordinaires, barbecue smokers, excellent cooks, engineers, architects, administrators, counselors, health coaches, restaurant team members. And if there's anyone I miss, you're included because you are made in God's image. And we learn with God how to live our lives as Christ would live if he were in our shoes, because that is the calling, right? To be made in God's image is learning with God how to live our unique, significant life as Christ would live it if he were in our shoes. And so friends, dads, moms, husbands, wives, children, neighbors, friends, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, what is God's calling in this season of life in terms of imaging forth God's beautiful work? And the way that Jesus carried out his rule and his reign was one by serving, giving, and loving. Because when we look at Jesus, he is the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus' orientation and imaging forth the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, was one of love and sacrifice. He is, friends, the second Adam, who ushered and continues to usher forth this new humanity, and we get to be part of that here at Sojourn North. I feel I've been just talking fast, so I'm going to slow down. This is just the joy and excitement that I, as I look out here, and the opportunity for you to get to sign up here is we get to steward forth what it means to be made in God's image. And friends, I know today, and we know it well, of the human condition. And as much as we can create beautiful and glorious things, we also can create a lot of hate, villainizing, and killing each other with our words and our actions, our looks and our tones and our body mannerisms, all the opposite of what it means to be in the fruit of the Spirit. And we mourn, we grieve over that, friends. But the application today is that we get to tell this story of what it means to be made in the image of God. And so I say all that by making an application point this morning in the form of a question to pique our curiosity, but also to invite us to pray. And it's a very simple question when it comes to being made in the image of God, and that is, who are you becoming? Who am I becoming day by day? Who are we as Sojourn North becoming as a family? Who are we becoming as a church? Who are you becoming? This is really a question that I want you to really ponder and take time, even this day, this week. Who are you becoming? Because who you're becoming, you are imaging. That is what you're stewarding each and every day, whatever image that is. And that is why, friends, we come every Sunday to God's word to say, God, help us to fulfill and live out what you have laid for us here in Genesis, because this is our story. This is our story. And we have been invited to live out the story of redemption. We are called to live out our story of restoration as we show up in who God has made us to be. As we've heard, God does not make junk. And so when I ask the question, when you think of humanity, what is the first thing to come to mind? Maybe pause before our brains quickly move towards more of this resounding, probably answer in your mind that man is sinful first. But I want to establish here this morning, Genesis 1 and 2 came before Genesis 3. And when God looks at his humanity first, that he's created, as he says, it is very, very good. Now, I know we're reforming our doctrine and we want to bring up total depravity, all of that, but may we not lose God's created good in all of us. And so I want to invite you, friends, let us be a church that produces good. Even in our technology, which, you know, my wife and I are always going back and forth, how do we help our kids steward technology well? And, you know, I was reading someone or listening to someone this past week, you know, Marshall McLuhan, who's a guy who's thought about how technology is used. And I thought the point that he made, that technology is really an extension of our bodies, right? That when we think of these things right here, it's really an extension of our ears and our mouths and who we are. And really, in summarizing, it is extending in fancy ways the image of God in us. And I want to help that even as the new iPhone 13 has come out, that our fixation is not just this, but it's more as this. And I'm not dogging on technology, but I think it's a good time for us, even in my own family and in my own life, how sometimes something that is created can be an idol and an image that only reflects us instead of God. And I think God wants us to use our iPhones or any technological use as an extension of God working in through us to the world so that the world would see that our God is good and loving. And I can say more about technology in my wrestling, because usually my phone becomes my escape when it's a rough and long day. Not saying that's bad, but sometimes it's good to take inventory and step back and say, God, how am I using what you have blessed? Because God is generous, right? He's given us all good things, but any good thing can also be used to rule and reign in a way that he did not intend to use. Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming as a family? Who are we becoming as a church? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us, dear friends, to image God in a way that is a sweet fragrance, a loving invitation to the heart of Jesus. That's my prayer, that God would teach us, as I'll return to this, how God would and how Jesus would step in our shoes if he were living through our lives day by day, both individually but also collectively. And that's why every Sunday we partake of the Lord's Supper, because it's a reminder for us of what he did on behalf of us, the bread symbolizing his body, the cup symbolizing his blood that covers our sins. And so every day, every Sunday, we could be taking this every day, but every Sunday we take this, it's a reminder to pause and to say, Jesus, to be made in your image is to remember. Because to remember and reflect is to be reminded of what you have called us, and that is to be your image bearer. And so if you're here for the first time, there's two layers here that you peel off. On the top is the bread, and then on the bottom is the cup. And those who are gluten-free, are gluten-sensitive, we also have some gluten-free wafers in the front. But we take this together as God's family. And so with that, friends, may we respond by faith as God's image bearers. Will you pray with me?